Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome everybody, welcome. Well, can you bring happy back to work? Let's find out. We're going to find out today with my guest, because according to Time.com, 7 out of 10 Americans dread going to work in the morning. And the latest Gallup poll shows that those 70% of Americans either hate their job or simply don't care about it and are therefore not engaged while they're at work. So I'm joined by leadership and career consultant Dr. Bud Bilanich. I'll introduce him in just one moment. Coming up later in today's show, we're talking about changing behavior. And Dr. Georgiana Donadio says, yes, you can change and you can change immediately. You can immediately transform your relationships with her easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. And she is a specialist in communications and change behavior. And that's coming up around 20, 25 minutes or so. And I also have a very special guest in the studio with me. I'd like him to say a very quick hi, but he's distracted with his camera right now.
Hi, everybody.
His name is Colin Barnett, and that's my brother, and he's joining us from England today. He's staying with me for the next 2 weeks. So come on, Seattle, let's see some sunshine.
Really pleased to be here.
We're pleased to have you. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my first guest, leadership consultant and career coach Bud Bilanich, and a doctorate of education with a concentration in adult education and organizational behavior and intervention from Harvard University. And he's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, on CNN, Fox, and CBS, among other national media, and is available to discuss his work at large. He's written 19 books, and his 5 favorites are Success Tweets, Climbing the Corporate Ladder, Straight Talk for Success, Your Success for GPS, and 42 Rules to Jumpstart Your Professional Success. So a lot of work on success there. Dr. Bud Bilanich, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Vicki. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you here. And one of the things I love about your work, Bud, is that you are Harvard educated, and yet you have such a really down-to-earth, no-nonsense approach. In fact, you are known as the common sense guy, and you do accredit that to your upbringing in Steel Country of Philadelphia. Tell us a little about that, if you would.
Oh, well, see, now you're showing your lack of U.S. geography. Western
Pennsylvania. I meant to say Pennsylvania.
Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, the other side of the state. But no, you know, it's I'm sort of a true American success story. My grandfather worked in the coal mines in central Pennsylvania. He started there when he was 8 years old. Never even went to work, and here I am having the opportunity to go to Harvard and get a doctorate. And but in between time, growing up there in Western Pennsylvania really taught me an awful lot about how to be pragmatic, how to approach problems, and how to solve problems in a pragmatic way. And that's what I try to do with my writing and my coaching and consulting work, because I think too many people overcomplicate things. And I think that in this world, we want to try to undercomplicate as much as possible.
I agree. And what was it that drove you to focus on adult education, on organizational behavior? What was it that pushes your buttons on that?
Well, it's funny. I studied to be a journalist as an undergraduate, but then I did a year of service. It was called, in those days, it was called being a VISTA volunteer, which stood for Volunteers in Service to America. And it was kind of like domestic Peace Corps, part of the anti-poverty program that President Lyndon Johnson had in this country many years ago. And I really enjoyed the training that I was given in preparation to being a VISTA volunteer. And so I ended up going to work, training other people to be VISTA volunteers, and then moved into a career in business as a training and organization development professional before I started my little company about 25 years ago.
And I would imagine it's ever evolving because of the changing nature of business. So it keeps you on your toes, I would imagine.
Yes, it does. One of the things that I always recommend to people is be a lifelong learner, because if you stay in the same place these days, or you think you're staying in the same place, you're actually moving backward, because knowledge keeps changing, growing, and evolving so quickly that we have to keep pace.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about this study which Gallup put together. Only 13% of workers worldwide, they say, are engaged at work. It's a little higher in America, but it's still very, very low. Tell us about the study.
Well, you know, Gallup is, some of it is a little self-serving on their part, because one of the things that they like to do is sell survey work and programs to corporations to help people be more engaged. And these days, engagement has become kind of like the holy grail for senior leaders in companies. Everybody wants to have an engaged workforce. And as you can tell just by the numbers that you quoted, people, by and large, aren't very engaged with their work. And I think that there are certain things that companies can do to help people be more engaged. But ultimately, if you want to create the kind of career success for yourself that you want, you need to be engaged with your job. Now, it helps if you like what you do, but still, I think the burden oftentimes is on individuals to try to be more engaged with their jobs. Companies can only do so much for
people. Right. And I want to look at that in a moment, but I'm wondering, first of all, you know, what is it that's making people hate their job so much and disengaging?
Well, what I think is it's a whole product of this 24/7 constantly in touch world. It's, you know, I have never done this, but I understand that a lot of people sleep with their smartphones right by their pillow.
Yes, I have a visitor with me right now who's doing that exact same thing.
He's doing that? Well, that's terrible. I mean, what I really think happens, though, so much, Vicky, is that that it's hard to disengage from work in the sense of, it used to be you would go home and maybe you would get a phone call in the evening, but now you're working on your email. If you're on some kind of a commuter train or bus or something like that, you're constantly getting texts or emails all the time. And I think that people are starting to get a little fed up and feeling a little burnt out. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing that causes them to disengage.
Right.
Another thing that I think is a byproduct is that it used to be you got a job with a company and you kind of stayed there for life. I mean, my dad, when he finished high school, and then he returned from World War II. He went to work for U.S. Steel, and he expected to retire from there, and he did. And these days, there's fewer and fewer companies where you find people who are like that. As a matter of fact, in some of my corporate clients, I find that some of my longer-term employees tell me that that's actually a hindrance for them. So there's less loyalty on the part of companies towards employees these days, and so I think employees are less inclined to feel loyal to their companies.
Right, right. So you actually say, but these numbers and the American stats are, as I said, 29%, which is roughly 1 in 3. So this is an opportunity for those who do want to choose to re-engage. It creates an opportunity. So what is it that we need to do if we're feeling disengaged and we're feeling ho-hum? Nobody wants to carry on feeling that way. How can we start to turn things around for ourselves and take personal responsibility?
Well, you know, one of the things that I always tell people, and I'm a big believer in this, is that you need to be optimistic. You need to think that, okay, I can do well in my career, I can do well in this company, and that a lot of times people say, well, Bud, you're a little bit of a Pollyanna, you know, you're always talking about optimism. But I don't think that that's true. I think it's important to be optimistic and enthusiastic. And when you're optimistic and enthusiastic about your job and your company and your industry, it shows, people start to notice, you start to get promotions and pats on the back, which helps you become a little more engaged. And I think that that's where it all starts, is that we all have to choose to be optimistic about where we are and what we're doing. And if we do that, we're likely to be able to be more engaged. And it's also likely to create sort of a positive upward spiral because, again, people will notice your attitude, your behavior, your enthusiasm, your optimism, and you're going to be more likely then to get promotions or to get good assignments that's going to allow you to have a more fulfilling career.
Right. Well, in your book, 42 Rules, to jumpstart your professional success, mm-hmm. you start off with, and my brother read this and he goes, I like this book already. It says rules are meant to be broken.
That's absolutely true.
So is there one rule out of this book that you would not like to see people, you don't encourage people to break? Is there one that is really going to turn things around and make a difference for people more so than others?
Well, one of them that I would never encourage people to break is the whole notion of being visible. I think that you want to volunteer for tough jobs and jobs that are, and they don't necessarily even need to be jobs that are related to the business. They can be jobs that are related to your company. I was working for a very large company in New York many years ago, and they were very, very, very big supporters of the United Way. And every year, they ran a huge campaign trying to get all the employees to sign up to contribute. Now, nobody really likes to ask people for money, particularly their work colleagues.
Right.
But I volunteered one year to run the campaign. And as I did that, I got in front of several senior executives, and it led directly to a promotion for me, all because I volunteered for a tough job, and I volunteered for a job that, quite frankly, nobody really wanted to do, but I did it, and I did it well, and that increased my visibility. And so by being willing to take on a tough assignment, you can really set yourself apart and set yourself as somebody who shows that they're engaged and are really willing to do something to help something, in this case, that's very important to the company, which was supporting the local United Way.
Yeah, you develop a lot of trust by delivering, once you start delivering like that,
especially
on the jobs that nobody else wants.
Exactly. You know, I have another, you know, a guy that's a coaching client of mine, and he made his name by basically, he was a sales manager, and the CEO of the company had a son who was kind of a deadbeat, and he had kind of been in several divisions of the companies, and finally he said, okay, I'll take him on, I'll hire him as a sales person in my district, and he kind of turned the guy around, and he went from being a sales manager to ending up running one of the divisions of the company, all because he came to the attention of the CEO, because he took on a very tough job mentoring the CEO's slacker son.
Right, right. Now, the book, 42 Rules, again, really focuses on you taking responsibility and you
yeah.
turning things around. And you mentioned that in our discussion just. But what can employers do if somebody's listening to this and they know they have, you know, half their team is disengaged? What should they start doing straight away to try and turn things around?
I think what companies need to do, first of all, is make sure that give people a sense that they're involved in something other than just making money, something that's in some ways makes a contribution to this world. I think the other thing that companies can do is, you know, start to set clear expectations, give people timely feedback, recognize people for what they do well. You know, the days of the old bosses who'd say, well, if they don't hear anything from me, they know everything's okay, they'll hear from me when they screw up, that's gone. People do like to be recognized. They like to have some recognition for what they do well. They need to feel that their opinion counts, and that there's some opportunities to learn and grow. And obviously, again, none of this is rocket science. It's just plain old common sense. And that's one of the things that I try to dispense to both the corporate clients that I have and then the individual coaching clients I have.
Yeah, I think one of the key things as a leader is not to ask for someone's opinion if you're not prepared to hear it or not prepared to take some action on it, too.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right on that. You shouldn't argue with somebody if they give you their opinion. And if you don't like it, and you should be willing to take action on it because people like to feel as if they're being heard. In some ways, if you ask people for their opinion and suggestions and they give them to you and you don't act on them or you don't even acknowledge that you've gotten them, it's almost worse than not asking to begin with.
Yeah, because they feel they're just giving lip service. Do you feel sometimes that people, you know, are just better getting out and finding something else, something new, something exciting?
Well, I think that you have to figure out for yourself what's important. I always kind of joke that people in my field in particular who study organizations don't necessarily make the best members of organizations.
Right.
And so
right.
After I learned a lot about how big companies work, I thought it was best for me to go out on my own to become a consultant. And I do think that you shouldn't jump ship for every little thing that you don't like.
Right.
But if there becomes a systematic pattern, if you find that you don't like the company, you don't like the industry, you don't like the job, you thought it was something that you would enjoy while you were a student, and then you start doing the actual work and realize it's not quite as exciting as you thought, maybe you have to leave. Maybe you have to say, okay, I need to go and find something else. I need to find another company. I need to find another occupation. But I do think that you shouldn't think of it almost as jumping ship. I think you should think of it as a well-thought-out move in your career success.
Yes, have a little exit strategy for
exactly.
brand new chapter.
No, really. I mean, but you're not jumping ship. I always say to people, never run away from,
right.
Go to something that's better.
Yeah. That's how I try to live my life now, because I have run away from some things in the past, like we all do. But I think that's a great philosophy.
Well, you went pretty far. I mean, you're about halfway around the world, aren't you? From the UK to Seattle.
Yeah, and my third career, too. So I know that you've been doing this a long time. I also know from reading your website, Bud, that you're a cancer survivor. I'm wondering what you know now as a man and as a business person that you wish you'd known 30 years ago. We always get a pause there.
I'll tell you what's... No. I mean,
it's a big question.
A few things, but I think the most important thing was when I was a young guy, I was sort of a smart guy, and I was kind of full of myself. And I think that what I learned over the years, it's really important to be a gentleman, and that I wish I had known that a little bit earlier in my life. I don't think I was ever rude or obnoxious or anything, but I wasn't as kind and gentlemanly as I could have been. The older I get, the kinder I get, the more of a gentleman I become, and I find that that attracts an awful lot more business for me. And so what I would suggest to anybody who's listening is be a lady, be a gentleman, because it's not old-fashioned. It really is just mm-hmm. common sense, and it really is good business sense.
Yeah, and it's a refreshing change, quite frankly, today. Would you like to leave our listeners with a special thought today?
Well, what I would urge your listeners to do, if they're at all interested in things that I've been talking about, is you mentioned one of my books, and it's a real easy one to read. It's called Success Tweets, and I actually make that available to people for free. And all it is 140 bits of common sense advice in 140 characters or less. So it's really nothing more than 140 tweets on what it takes to be successful. And if your listeners would like to go to successtweets.com, they can get a digital copy for free.
Okay, successtweets.com, and they can get a free download.
Successtweets.com, yes.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Brad. Appreciate that.
And my pleasure.
I appreciate you being with us today. And I know listeners can find out more about you at your website, which is budbelanich.com, budbelanich.com, also known as the Common Sense Guy. Thank you, Bud, for being with us.
Thank you so much, Vicky. I really appreciated having the opportunity to chat with you today.
You're welcome. And do please stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to take a very quick break. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair with Conversations Live. If you'd like to gain more exposure for your business, service or event, or if you'd like to raise awareness for an issue or topic you're passionate about, call me. Let's talk about ways we might partner to shine the spotlight on you and bring you the recognition you deserve. Call me at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jude and Paul Ponton and Whispering Dragon, we cover the world of animals. This week, October 27th, it's the last Sunday of the month, and that means it's a shelter, rescue sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. This month, we'll cover the birds with Betsy Lott from Mollywood Avian Sanctuary and Bob Dawson from Macaw Rescue and Sanctuary. We'll talk about horses with All Breed Equine Rescue, plus a surprise or two. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
OMG! Grammar abuses, no, LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Dr. Georgiana Donadio. And for over 30 years, she's been a pioneer in the field of behavioral health, working with healthcare professionals and patients to change behaviors that lead to improved health. Her work is pioneering, and it's been the foundation for the award-winning book, Changing Behavior, Immediately Transform Your Relationships with Easy-to-Learn, Proven Communication Skills. She's a featured blubber. She's a chief featured blogger for Huffington, is what I was trying to say, Huffington Post, and Dr. Oz's ShareCare, among others. And her expertise has been showcased in hundreds of print and online radio media. She's been all over the place. You've probably seen her many, many times. Welcome, Dr. Georgiana Donadio.
Thank you, Vicky. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I have been called a blabber before, so you know that's not really a slip of the tongue.
Oh dear, that's funny. Well, I actually heard you on a radio show, funnily enough, not very long ago, and I heard you say, I know you've been a longtime proponent of the role that nurses play in healthcare, and in fact, we should let listeners know that you're one of only six American Florence Nightingale scholars in America. You're also an award-winning nurse advocate, and you've really dedicated your life to improving their roles and the quality of healthcare delivery. And you were a former nurse yourself, and then you say, but there's no such thing as a former nurse. So talk to us a little bit about what's driven you this far in this field.
Well, I think that if you ask anyone who has had a passion for what they do, it started from a personal need or a personal desire or a crusade, if you will, to make a change. So it's always about making change. And the name of the book is Changing Behavior. And it, again, it's about change. And so life itself begs us, invites us, and implores us to continue to change as we grow and as we become more aware consciously and emotionally, socially, spiritually. We're always in the process of change. And so for me, as well as, you know, most of the people that I know that are, you know, passionate about things, it's a change process. And currently, our culture is in need of a tremendous shift in awareness and self-awareness and consciousness with regard to our health. I mean, the headlines speak for themselves. There's a terrible problem going on out there, and it's manifesting itself as health, but that's really not where the problem is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is coming from a much deeper and more insidious thing within our own life experience, which is about the way that we as Americans have shifted our values and shifted our focus and shifted the way that we live our lives and the way that we treat ourselves and other people.
Well, I know that you founded the Boston-based National Institute of Whole Health and Behavioral Engagement. Tell us a little bit about that, because that was quite, I mean, you really were a pioneer in the field when this was established.
Well, you know, we are still considered to be a pioneer in the
right.
number one, you know, integrative and whole health training program in the United States. We have a program for people who are part of the healthcare team in wellness or medicine or training, personal training, fitness, or anything that has to do, you know, with people who are working within the field on the team of health and wellness. And this program has been around almost 40 years, and long before anyone thought that there was any relevance between a person's lifestyle and their health, or the way they thought or the way they lived and their health outcomes, we were teaching health professionals to look at things a different way, to walk around the big picture, to look at the whole person. And we've been doing that since 1977. And it's interesting because today I often have a good chuckle, just like I do with my 21-year-old daughter. I have a good chuckle because people will call up, and I have a lot of people who want to talk to me, and they call up and they are telling me all about what's wrong with healthcare, and you know, and they've just, you know, they're so passionate and they've just discovered this, you know.
And you've been doing it all this while. Well, the good thing is they are discovering it now.
Yes, but it's so funny because I don't know that we have any. We don't have much perspective, historical perspective of things. Just like I have a 21-year-old daughter, and I had her when I was later in life. And, you know, the world is, thank goodness, changed quite a bit for young women from when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And young gals today, fortunately, they have no idea what, you know, us old crone pioneers were doing, you know, 30, 40 years ago to change the culture. And it is my fervent hope and wish that the work that we're doing now is going to make a change for people 20, 30, 40 years from now, because we need to change the environment we're living in.
Absolutely. Now, your book has won many awards. It's all about, it's been described as a new tool for transforming relationships. A title again is Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy to learn, proven communication skills. You say 99% of all conflicts are the result of communication styles and agendas. So let's talk a little bit about that and how you became so involved in communication and change around communication.
Well, one of my degrees is actually in communication, and it was a passion of mine from early on because I happen to have come from a violently, verbally dysfunctional family. Okay,
right, really bad. Which can be as damaging, if not more damaging, sometimes than physical violence. Right?
Well, I'll be frank with you. I've experienced both, and I think that the emotional, verbal, psychological abuse is far more damaging than the physical abuse. And the reason for that is when you have people who are supposed to be protecting you and they betray you and they wound you psychically and emotionally and verbally, there's really no going back. I was just having a conversation with a colleague 2 days ago about a patient who, a gentleman in his early 50s, who never recovered from the sexual abuse he experienced at the hands of a priest. And it wasn't the sexual abuse that really did him in. It was his family's denial and blaming him for what happened to him, and the kind of verbal attack that he, emotional attack that he experienced being, you know, victimized and blamed for what happened to him. So it's not sometimes the act itself. It can be the emotional lack of support and protection and caring that wounds people.
Yeah, I think language is very important because we can be told a thousand good things about ourselves and we remember the one nasty comment that somebody made to us. And that can last with us for many, many years, can't it?
Absolutely. And that's, we see that that's going on more and more today. And I talk a lot, I do speak a lot about behavior and about communication. And what is unfortunate is that we live in a country that isn't even in the top 15% healthiest or happiest nations. We are the most powerful, wealthiest nation in the world. We spend, you know, more money than anybody else on individual health care. We have more affluence, we have more opportunity, et cetera, et cetera. And we are a nation of deeply unhappy and unhealthy individuals. Now, that has to stop you in your tracks,
right,
and say, okay, what's going on here? Does it mean that everybody's coming from wildly dysfunctional families? I don't think so. What it means is that, and the book, Changing Behavior, documents very clearly and very specifically with evidence and research and references how we get, how we got from the 1980s, the mid-1980s, to where we are today and the damage that has been done to us as a culture, to our values, to our behaviors, to the way we treat ourselves and the way we treat other people. We're experiencing a cultural crisis in this country. And we have really lost our compass. We've lost our compass as a people, and nothing could point to that more than the, what has happened these last few weeks with our own government literally saying, "Oh, this isn't going to affect anybody. Oh no, no, this isn't any big deal."
What they meant was it didn't affect them.
Exactly. So you have people that are making huge sums of money with huge amount of power to control our lives, who basically say, those people don't matter. They're not going to give up their salary, or they're not going to give up, you know, their livelihood or their survival, but it doesn't matter about the rest of us. And when we look at ourselves as a unit, you know, as a culture, and we realize that we elected these people, and these people are now basically saying, you know, too bad about you, it speaks to the fact that in 2013, the American Psychiatric Association declassified the narcissistic personality disorder because the population has such a high level of narcissistic personality disorder. We're in the high 20s, low 30s.
Wow.
We have people running around out there, and I mean us, me, all of us. We're running around out there, and it's about us. You look at people, their faces in their cell phone. People don't even have the courtesy when they're talking to you to shut their cell phone off. The rudeness, the way we, the road rage, the way we relate to one another. We're living in our own little Idahos. We're driving cars with, you know, with earbuds on, and we're just in such a bad place in terms of our self-absorption and our inability to be the kind of people that we want to be treated as.
Right. It's interesting that you should bring that up, because my last question to my guest was, what do you wish you'd known 30 years ago that you know now? And his response was that he wished he'd been more of a gentleman and been kinder. So it was interesting that you brought that up. We need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you some of the ways that we can start turning that around, if only ourselves, because that's all we can control.
Absolutely.
Is ourselves.
Absolutely.
And my guest here is Dr. Georgiana DiNardio, and her book is called Changing Behavior, Immediately Transform Your Relationships with Easy-to-Learn, Proven Communication Skills. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, this This is Vicki St. Clair with Conversations Live. If you'd like to gain more exposure for your business, service, or event, or if you'd like to raise awareness for an issue or topic you're passionate about, call me. Let's talk about ways we might partner to shine the spotlight on you and bring you the recognition you deserve. Call me at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Coming November 4th on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Can art therapy really heal you mentally, physically, and spiritually? Vicki explores this topic with guest experts Dr. Michael Samuels and Dr. Mary Rockwood Lane, authors of Healing with the Arts, a 12-week program to heal yourself and your community. Find guest details at conversationslive.net.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And, of course, I have a special guest from England in the studio with me, my brother today, Colin Barnett. He's Go ahead.
Hi, everybody.
He's taking pictures and just taking it all in here. Although he's been on radio many times in England, it's different in America, right, Colin?
It is, yeah.
It's froggy throat today. And, of course, I'm very pleased to be talking right now with Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Her book is called Changing Behavior, Immediately Transform Your Relationships with Easy-to-Learn Proven Communication Skills. And she's had some excellent write-ups on this. And it's not a new book, actually, Georgiana. It's been out, what, a year or 2 years?
Well, yeah, it came out the last time it was redone. It was back in 2012. It's been around for about a year, year and a half, and people seem to really like it because it does what it says. It immediately helps you to transform your life. And changing our life is not easy, but it really can be if we commit ourselves to making change, because change is about practice. It's about doing something over and over and over and over again until it becomes part of who we are. And this book looks at how we have communication with other people, which changes our self-esteem towards ourselves and changes our relationships with those people.
Right. So we have about 9 minutes here, and of course I want to cram every question I can into that 9 minutes. But one of the things that we've talked about on the show before, you know, some people say, hey, it takes two people giving 100% to make a relationship change. Other experts say one person can begin to change that relationship. So give me your perspective on that, if you would, whether work or personal.
Well, they're kind of both true. We can only change one thing in life, and that is ourselves. We can't change most circumstances or things that are going on in our life, but we can change ourselves, our behavior. But the biggest thing we can change is our intention. What is our intention? I'm very happy to say that, I've been blessed to learn that you can get up every day and you can determine that for today, I am going to treat everyone with kindness. For today, I'm going to be kind to myself. For today, I'm going to be mindful of my communications with others. I'm going to work with integrity. I'm going to live with integrity. And, you know, for today, I'm going to transcend anger and fear. We can do that every day. But apart from that kind of mindful awareness that really is just a matter of choosing to do that every day, we can also learn simple, easy steps, proven steps. Everything in changing behavior has been proven over 33 years of research in hospitals and in medical centers. So it can be trusted because it's been proven. And these are simple, easy steps that anyone can learn to change the quality of the way they communicate to other people. And that changes what they get back, and it also changes how they feel about themselves. So the first thing we can do is realize what is our intention in every interaction that we're having. What is my intention on this radio show? What is your intention on, you know, as being a host on this? What do we want? What are we looking to create or to manifest? If what I want to create is a positive, uplifting communication, then that is going to come across through the way that my mind drives my mouth, remember, blabber,
right.
and how it's going to drive my actions. So the idea that the only people that can change our lives are ourselves is true. And, of course, people are going to say, well, you can't change a relationship because it takes two people. But the way we treat the other person can dramatically change how they respond to us. And we have proven that over and over again over these past 30-some-odd years.
Right. Kirkus Review, I believe. Yes, Kirkus Review awarded you 5 stars for this book. One of the things they talk about is transformative listening skills, and they say they really recommend this as a top-tier, strikingly original case for the transformative power of receptiveness. So let's talk about listening a bit, because we, you know, if we've read a book on communications, we know listening is important, and we all think we do it fantastically. But how can we really get it to that level where the way we listen is transformative?
Exactly. We retrain people like coaches and nurses and teachers who think they're listening, who have been trained to know how to listen, to act as if they're listening, to follow the steps of listening. I will share with you, in the book, there is a quote from a Harvard study that said 90% of us, 90% of us are not even paying attention 50% of the time. How can we be listening right when we're so caught up in our own drama? What am I going to have for dinner? Is she going to call? Is he going to call? Do I have money in the bank? Where am I going out for the weekend? We are so caught up in our mind noise and in our self-absorption and in our anxiety and in the pressure of living in today's world that 90% of us are not even listening 50% of the time. We're not even paying attention, no less listening, no less hearing someone. We're so busy thinking about what we're going to say, what we're going to do, what we need to do, that we're not present. The book is about pure presence. It's about being purely, wholly, authentically present to another person. And I want to tell you that is a rare and brilliant gift. Should you receive that from someone, you know you've been loved. You know you've been touched. Because love is being accepted. Love isn't this romantic thing that we all have in our mind, you know, and isn't it wonderful, of course, what hormones do. But love is about being accepted. It's about being valued for who you are, how you are, where you are, what you are. And that is when we are in the presence of someone who knows how to be purely present and authentically listen, we feel loved. And the book explains the science, the whole brain science and the whole biochemistry of how being really present and truly listening can change another person's experience of you
right
and how you talk to them.
Right. Well, we only have about 2 minutes left here, but give me one example of if I'm trying to really be heard by somebody, or if I'm trying to really hear somebody, excuse me, what's the number one thing I should be doing?
if you want to be heard by somebody, or if you want to hear somebody.
If I'm trying to hear somebody.
Well, first of all, trying.
Let's scratch trying. As soon as I left my mouth, I knew that was a no-no.
Yoda said, don't try do. But the way that we start to listen is, number one, we have to check our intention. Are we there to listen, or are we there to wait to say what we have to say?
Right.
What do we want from the conversation?
Right.
Do we truly want to take in what that person is telling us, or are we there to negotiate to get what we want? The book lays out very simply, and people can get a free download of the first chapter by going to changingbehavior.org, and it explains the brain science. And we have to stop before each interaction and say, what am I doing here? We have to look at that person softly, look at them in their eyes. We have to put our focus and our attention on that person, not sitting there with all of our head noise, brain noise, life noise going on and wondering, when are we going to get a moment to interject what we think? So we can go from being present and attentive to moving away from distraction. So we go from distraction to presence to attention. It sounds complicated, and it is to some extent, but it's all a matter of whether or not we have the intention to do it.
Yes, very possible. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And I know listeners can find out more about you, and again, they can get a download of the first chapter, was it?
Yes, they can get a free download of a very important chapter on brain function.
And that's at changingbehavior.org, changingbehavior.org. Thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful work.
And the name of the book again is Changing Behavior, Immediately Transform Your Relationships with Easy-to-Learn Proven Communication Skills. And please stay with us. We'll be right back with you. And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, I wanted to take a few minutes at the end here today, since I had somebody fly 6,000 miles to come see me and just have a little chat with my brother. He just pulled a face at me. Can you believe my grown-up brother pulled a face at me?
That's what brothers are for, right?
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten what brothers are for. I have taken so much flack, Eric, this week. It feels like a week. It's been 2 days.
You're right back to being kids?
Not quite. We're friends. But he's just giving me a hard time.
I've just come over to ground her again.
And his name is Colin, of course. And did you enjoy today's show? Did you enjoy today's guests?
Yeah, very informative.
And Bud Belanich, in the first episode, he's in adult education like you.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, it was really interesting, yeah.
Yeah. And did you enjoy communication, since you think you are an expert communicator?
Absolutely. And coaching is one of the things we use a lot in adult education through observation of the teaching and learning that goes on. And clearly it's given me an insight into looking at what's happening in that area, really.
Well, one thing I appreciate about you, even though you're my brother, one thing I do appreciate you is that we've had many conversations over the years. In fact, you mentioned it even just this weekend. And Bud mentioned this in the first segment today. Is and I know Eric kind of is on this bandwagon too, is that you are a lifelong learner. And we've had conversations about in our lives when we felt frustrated or blocked or stuck, and you know, just we feel this resistance. It often is because we've reached a point almost of saturation, and we've stopped learning at the level that we want to be learning at.
Absolutely. I'd say those are the unhappy times in life when you've stopped learning, really, and you're in that desert of where you're not moving forward.
Right. Have you experienced that too, Eric?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly trying to learn new things because it's, you know, what makes life great.
One of the things I love about doing the show is how much I've learned, and it's like having a little mini college thing, you know, college experience, but with the best. I mean, Harvard experts and pioneers in their field,
yeah.
and it's just been a great experience.
You've certainly picked up a lot of knowledge. It's quite broad.
Very broad. It's amazing. I bet Eric finds this too, because he deals with all kinds of radio hosts too. But it's amazing what you know. You don't even know what you know sometimes until you hear somebody and you go, no, that's wrong. In your head, you think, no, that's not right. It's this.
Right.
Yeah.
It's trying to keep it in your head. That's the problem.
Yeah. Too much in our heads.
Well, can I ask a question of both of you? I'm just curious, since I've never been a tourist in this area, we've got a visitor from out of the country. What have you seen since you've been here?
Apart from the fog, you mean?
Yeah, apart from the fog.
I know that we're blamed in England for a lot of fog, but I have been all over the place. I've been to Olympia. I've been to Tacoma.
Well,
already.
Yeah, because I live down in Tacoma.
South Sounds?
And South Sound.
Photography is a pet hobby of mine, and I like urban landscapes, urban photography. So I've done quite a bit already.
Excellent.
Probably got a couple of months of editing when I get back.
Well, yeah, because he's taken tons of photographs, it's not a pet hobby with him. He's a serious photographer. He's actually an award-winning photographer, but he's very modest.
I'd like to win more awards.
Wouldn't we all?
But yeah, it was because it was foggy and it. We were like, okay, well, let's get out. We were going to go local on Sunday and Saturday, the first day he was here. And I said, let's try and take a 30, 40-mile drive. Sometimes the weather's very different.
I've heard you've got mountains here. I've not seen them yet.
I've sent you pictures of them. I think I jinxed it because I sent you a picture of Mount Rainier and I said, here's a picture of Mount Rainier in case it's in fog while you're here.
Well, the fog can make some very dramatic pictures, I would think.
Yeah, it's very atmospheric, actually, especially down by the lakes, the sound.
Yeah.
Well, I love it because it puts me in the mind of Halloween, and we're in the season, and we're getting close to Halloween, so it definitely makes me get in that mode, so it's great.
Yeah, and we were raised in a family. There's three of us, 3 years difference between the three of us. And so I think there was method in mom and dad's madness in that it didn't matter whether it was raining, snowing, the wind was howling. They're like, get your coats on, get your wellies on, we're going out. So the weather doesn't bother us, does it?
No, not really.
And you've really come to see me, right?
I have, yeah. It's been a while, and it's your home environment now, so it's really good to see you here.
Yeah. So I'm curious, because we haven't had a chance to talk about this. We've been yakking nonstop, but you lived in California for, 10 years?
Yeah.
About 10 years. In San Diego, we all did. And then you guys all went home, because you had two young kids then.
I did. I had two born in this country. Yeah.
Two born in this country, and then you were expecting a third.
Yep.
And so you went home.
I did.
What are the noticeable differences for you, other than weather and palm trees, but what are the noticeable difference between Southern California and up here, of what you've seen of it so far?
I'd say this is a bit more diverse up here, really. And from what I've experienced, which has only been a couple of days, the people are really, really warm and receptive. I didn't always feel it was that way in California, but that's from an outsider's point of view, really. I wasn't born in California, obviously.
Yeah, and you're 20 years older now as well, so maybe you have a different outlook on life too.
Possibly. I don't walk around with a chip on my shoulder anymore. So I'm probably more receptive to people than I used to be. Yeah.
Just like our first guest.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
The older he gets, the gentler he becomes.
Yeah. In fact, Bud should mention that in our first guest, because we'd had that conversation yesterday, I think, when he said, Colin, my brother, said that he was more open and more receptive and has learned to communicate,
I think you see a lot more in people really being like that, don't you? And you can certainly feel the benefit of it when you talk to people.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we've actually got something really exciting going on this week, which I want to let listeners know about too, because there's a free tour. But Colin and I are actually going on a media tour on Wednesday. The Greenpeace ship is coming in. And so we're going to go talk to the captain and some of the crew and the Seattle expert there, who've all been out in the Bering Sea, about what's going on with that and some of the new species that they've discovered. And so let me just read that out so I don't run out of time right now, because I do want to let listeners know where and when they're coming.
We'll have to get some of these new species on the show. It'd be quite a scoop.
There's one sitting to my right here. His name's Cole. So October 25th, the Rainbow Warrior, Greenpeace's iconic flagship, it's coming to Seattle. It's the first time, and it's actually kicking off the U.S. West Coast Tour. And the ship's going to host a number of events, including a welcome ceremony with Mayor Mike McGinn They're going to offer 2 days of free public tours, so any of you can go down, and an evening reception highlighting the deep sea canyons of the Bering Sea and the need for protection of the Bering Sea. And let's see what else I should tell you right now. So you can actually find out more about the Rainbow Warrior and its West Coast tour at greenpeace.org/USA/Rainbow-Warrior. The best thing is probably to email me if you want more, but you can find out more at greenpeace.org and just type in Rainbow Warrior in Google and the Seattle West Coast tour, and it will tell you everything you need to know about that. So we'll be doing that and bringing a little segment of that back to Conversations Live, you know, within the next 2 or 3 weeks. I thought it'd be kind of fun, something different to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I know yesterday we were running around and you made a comment to me how nice the people were up here in the Northwest.
Yeah, I suppose I'm trying to assess or analyze the culture really a little bit.
You found it hard to, you said that when we were down in Olympia, because the culture is so different. Like, we went down some back alleys where, yeah. And because you're a photographer, you're into urban photography, we're taking all the graffiti.
With all this water around, you'd think there'd be a big fishing culture here, which there probably is, but I think you've got a lot more of a community, wider community than that, really.
Yeah. And Eric can speak better to that because you're a huge fan of T-Town, for example, and the culture.
That's what we call Tacoma down in T-Town.
And Eric's a musician. He plays a lot of places, so he's more in touch, probably.
Definitely got an art, a bohemian kind of focus as well in Olympia. Yeah.
Yeah. Olympia and Tacoma have very strong art scenes, which a lot of places throughout the country that are that size don't have quite the cultural content that we have. So we're very lucky.
Yeah. It brings a lot of creativity, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And I just noticed the time. I didn't get my 2-minute signal there. I think we lost track there, didn't we? But I thank you so much for being with us every week, of course. We'll be back next week and my brother's going to be with us too. And we've got to rush. So live well, live strong. Find us at conversationslive.net. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you.